Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. And I hate when I do this. But periodically, not very, pretty rarely, I must say, but it does happen. I jump the news, report it to you, and I won't even tell you why. I'm not going to tell you why. The buck stops here. Truman had that sign on his desk. I have that sign on my desk. I won't even mention Sean or Alan. I won't. I take complete responsibility. I won't mention Roy. I won't mention anybody. I take complete responsibility for jumping the gun and announcing that the very end of the last hour that Judge Sotomayor had been confirmed. So, guys, you are completely in the clear. Because I haven't mentioned or hinted at anybody else's responsibility for that. So Bill Clinton is in North Korea. Former President Bill Clinton is in North Korea to try to free these U.S. journalists who were sent to, 12 years of hard labor. If you really go to hard labor in North Korea, you tend not to come out. And if you do, you don't come out the same person as went in. So the president has gone. My suspicion is they will free. This is my prediction, and I don't often make predictions, but here it is. They will not allow a former president of the United States into North Korea to say no. That doesn't make sense to me. So the fact that he was allowed in this surprise diplomatic turn. Means that they want to make some sort of deal, and they think they can make a deal with President Obama, or they will, and this is just as likely, and perhaps even more likely, want to look like great humanists, and for humane reasons, let these two journalists, I believe they're Korean-American, It's Laura Ling and Yuna Lee. So I guess it sounds to me that they would be Chinese-American names. But in any event, they will be allowed out as a humane or humanitarian gesture of the North Korean regime. And if that is the case, it is because they believe that they have an ear in the White House that they did not have beforehand. They would like to strengthen President Obama's non-confrontational mode of diplomacy. That's my prediction. That's what I think will happen. I would find it hard to imagine that they will allow a former U.S. president into North Korea to try to get the release of these two completely innocent, of course, U.S. journalists. They were no more spying in North Korea than I was, and I haven't been there. They would not allow him in just to send him home. They're too big on face in Korean culture in general, and the communists have a specific interest in whatever they do. It's all thought through. So I predict something will happen. There is a piece in the New York Times by the new conservative columnist whom I had, I admit, I did not know anything about, but what I had read, I wasn't sure that the Times had actually hired a conservative. I believe they have in Russ Douthat, I think is the way it is pronounced. And he has a very powerful piece in yesterday's New York Times, Blue State Blues. And he points out, I'll read to you parts of this. It is really something that you might want to share with your more liberal friends and relatives about how the blue states are doing so much more poorly than the red states because of the way in which they have spent money over the course of the last decade and more. And he compares, for example, the ultimate liberal state, California, with conservative Texas. Conservative Texas is doing relatively fine right now. Whereas California, people are leaving California in droves. Businesses are leaving California in droves. By the way, this just to give you an idea of, and you know how rarely I use the word hypocrisy, because most of the time what people call hypocrisy is really just inconsistency. But this is hypocrisy when Hollywood liberals will speak on behalf of high taxes and then the next minute threaten California with leaving California to make movies because of the high taxes on corporations and labor in California. That may be the best example of hypocrisy in real life that I know of. I guess there was one that, as good an example was that televangelist who would concentrate on sexual sin while frequenting prostitutes. That might be as vivid an example on an individual level, but individual hypocrisy doesn't interest me. What interests me is group hypocrisy, because groups make ideas and ideas shape the country. So you have Hollywood constantly telling California, don't give us taxes. Don't place higher taxes on us. And in fact, make lower taxes for us, or we will make movies in other states. But for everybody else, we want higher taxes so as to pay for the social programs that we Hollywood liberals, who are the finest, kindest, most enlightened, and courageous people, want to see enacted. So this article is about the contrast between those two states. Here. On health care, energy, taxes, and spending, Obama is pushing a blue state agenda during a recession that has exposed some of the blue state model's weaknesses and some of the red state model's strength. Of course, blue state is Democrat, red state is Republican. Consider Texas and California. In the Bush years, liberal polemicists turned the president's home state, pious, lightly regulated, stingy with public services, and mad for sprawl, into a symbol of everything that was barbaric about Republican America. Meanwhile, California, always liberalism's favorite laboratory, was passing global warming legislation, pouring billions into stem cell research, and seemed to be negotiating its way toward universal health care. But flash forward to the current recession, and suddenly, Texas looks like a model citizen. The Lone Star kept growing well after the country had dipped into recession. Its unemployment rate and foreclosure rate are both well below the national average. It's one of only six states that did not run budget deficits in 2009. That's Texas, folks, the Republican state. Meanwhile, California, long a paradise for regulators and public sector unions, has become a fiscal disaster area. And it isn't the only dark blue basket case. Eight states had unemployment over 11% in June. Seven of them went for Barack Obama last November. 14 states are facing 2010 budget gaps that exceed 20% of their GDP. Only two of those 14 went for John McCain. Of the nine states that have raised taxes this year, closing deficits at the expense of growth, almost all are liberal bastions. But it won't matter to people. I'll tell you, and I want you to know why it doesn't matter to people. What I have said over and over, but it needs to be said over and over until it really registers with everybody. The left is not interested in creating wealth. It is interested in redistributing wealth. Therefore, telling a liberal reader of the New York Times that the fiscally failing states are almost all the liberal ones means nothing to the liberal reader. Because all he says, so what? Fiscal failure just means more equality. That's all. And higher taxes, which is just fine for the liberal. What is that? Oh, California Dreaming. Yes. All righty. Very good. All right, we'll take calls, and if he gets in time, my own doctor voted for Barack Obama, and you'll hear his views. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. This article is a real eye-opener, or should be anyway, for many. Ross Douthat in the New York Times, one of the two conservative columnists. All the others are liberal and left, and these are moderate to conservative. But his it just makes more telling what he has to say here. That if you just look at the economies of the blue states, they're much worse than those of the red states, California, Texas being the best contrast. And yet it means nothing to most liberals, because certainly, or at least most of those on the left, a true liberal will be alarmed, but there are very few liberals left, and those that are left are usually conservatives. Yesterday's liberal is today's conservative. And today's liberal is yesterday's leftist. You read this and you realize, well, why should we follow prescriptions that fail? Liberal economics just don't work. And all of these states that followed these ideas are failing in comparison to the more conservative states. Then he has a very interesting note. Inevitably, there is another result, he said. The tendency toward political corruption. The Republicans have their mistresses, but the Democrats are dealing with a more serious array of scandals. The Blagojevich-Burris embarrassment in Illinois, Senator Christopher Dodd's dubious mortgage dealings in Connecticut, the expansive graft case in New Jersey, and a slew of corruption investigations featuring Democratic congressmen. This helps explain why the Republican Party might be competitive in the Northeast for the first time in years. Chris Christie is easily leading John Corzine in the race for New Jersey's governorship. Rob Simmons might unseat Chris Dodd in Connecticut. Rudy Giuliani, who has experience with blue state crises, is pondering a run for governor in New York. And it also helps explain Obama's current difficulties. The president is pushing a California-style climate change bill at a time when businesses and people are fleeing California in droves. He's pushing a health care plan that looks a lot like the system currently hemorrhaging money in Massachusetts. His ballooning deficits resemble the shortfalls paralyzing state capitals from Springfield to Sacramento. Well, talking about that healthcare bill issue, I mentioned yesterday something that on a human level fascinated me, and I just want to say a word about my own interest in this matter. I don't care about the politics of the people that I hire or work with in my private life. If you do a good job, I don't care if you're a liberal, if you're a conservative, if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter to me. And it shouldn't matter. I mean, that's why I still buy Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I mean, these guys are crackpot lefties, but I like their ice cream. See, the left does this. They won't buy from, you know, if they know somebody was, well, look at the way they try to put out of business anyone who gave any money to Proposition 8 in California. Anyone who thinks marriage ought to be between a man and a woman should be put out of business and go bankrupt. This is the left's view. But the right doesn't have that view. I don't know anybody who boycotts Ben and Jerry's ice cream, though there is no left-wing position they do not publicly champion. I mean, I'm surprised they don't name their ice cream after Bill's, you know, the same-sex marriage chocolate. And, you know, I mean, God, I'm serious. That is how overtly political Ben and Jerry's is. Well, anyway, how does this apply to my next guest? Is the doctor that I have brought to you, whom I have as my own doctor, and who I believe, I don't know if he saved my life. He may have. I wasn't in a life-threatening situation, thank God, but who knows? I think that a lot of people became aware of this. Who was the broadcaster again, the famous broadcaster? Oh, Tim Russert. Yeah, well, poor Tim Russert in his 50s died. All of a sudden, people wonder, what were his numbers? I believe I have saved a lot of your lives through Michael Richman, the doctor that I have been going to. And he is now the unofficial doctor of the, or physician of the Dennis Prager Show. Well, it turns out, and I knew this, he voted for Barack Obama. It didn't mean a thing to me. My doctor can be brilliant in medicine and wrong in politics. Hey, what do I care? He's laughing. Well, anyway, just the other day we were talking. And one thing I'll tell you about Michael Richman, when he studies an issue, and I mean this to your credit, he's an extremely serious guy. And he is about the heart, which is what we've talked about, protecting your heart, and methods that he uses that I think do a great deal in saving lives that not all physicians do, unfortunately. And then looking into the healthcare issue, likewise, he has brought his razor-like mind and an OCD, God bless him, you know, obsessive-compulsive. It's not a disorder, though, in your case. It's a wonderful blessing to the rest of OCB, obsessive-compulsive blessing. And told me that he regretted voting for Barack Obama. And I didn't even ask you. I didn't care. That was, you know, your politics are your politics. But I love you for your medicine and your integrity. And so I said, would you be willing for me? Because not a lot of doctors or others would. People are afraid to come out publicly. Look at the AMA's position. Maybe you'll have a thought on the AMA in a moment. But he said, no, absolutely. You could mention my name. And I mentioned that Dr. Michael Richman deeply regretted having voted for Barack Obama. And so I said, well, why don't you come on the show and talk about it? And here he is. So Dr. Michael Richman. Now, why does this thing here say thoracic surgeon? Aren't you a heart surgeon?
Right, but it's cardiothoracic. It's heart. Thoracic means chest. So lungs,
okay.
Esophagus.
Oh, really?
Correct.
Okay, very good.
But you know, I have my cholesterol center, obviously, which we're talking about.
Yeah, the lipidcenter.com, which we always put up. You can go straight or you could go through our website. Okay, Dr. Michael, thanks for coming in. He's wearing his, what is that, the Superman outfit that doctors wear? What is this blue outfit?
Well, I needed it. I got here in 20 minutes since Alan called me at 10 to 10 and I was seeing a patient.
Oh, I see. So that's it. So in case you were stopped by an officer of the law?
No, you know this is my outfit, so.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, very good. It adds to the credibility of what you have to say, especially on radio.
Thank you.
Just as my tie is effective. I will be back in a moment, and I will ask, in all seriousness, Dr. Michael Richman, what troubles him about the health care bill. Coming up. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of love. You know, I have come to the conclusion there is no subject that is too serious for the nonsense that we're prepared to surround it with on this program. That's it. This country may turn in a direction that from which it may not be able to go back. And we're playing Doctor, Doctor, I Love You, whatever it is. All right, that's fine with me. Anyway, I do love this doctor, Michael Richman, who is not only mine, but many of yours as well. And we have only talked medicine in the past. He voted for Barack Obama and told me 2 days ago, out of nowhere, I don't even know how it came up, but he just said he does regret having voted for the man. And we're not going to discuss Barack Obama. It's not the issue. It's the Barack Obama medical care plan. So first of all, Dr. Michael Richman, cardiothoracic surgeon in West L.A. and the founder of the Lipid Center. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, wonderful. I'm happy to have you. it's such an enormous subject. Let me begin with a psychological question.
Sure.
All right? When one has faith in a person or a system or whatever, and then feels betrayed, was it a painful thing to come to feel that you voted wrong?
Well, although I do agree with some of the positions, you know, we all believe in certain positions which affect us, and I did not believe that the health care bill would get pushed so fast, like it's been going on for years and years, and now in its present form, it is going to destroy healthcare and destroy doctors. So since it affects me and my patients and healthcare in general, I'm frightened.
Okay, that's a very big statement. Destroy healthcare as we know it and doctors and patients. That's pretty big, tall order. Which do you want to begin with, the healthcare part or the doctors part?
Well, we can begin with the current state of healthcare.
Okay.
Because I don't want people to think that I'm a disgruntled doctor, because you know I'm not. I love practicing medicine.
Yes.
But I want to talk about the state of healthcare in this country. First of all, this is the best healthcare in the world, as evidenced by the Arab royal families. The Jordanians go to Texas Heart Institute for their cardiac care. The Saudis go to the Cleveland Clinic, and the Kuwaitis go to the Mayo Clinic. In fact, they have an 11,000 square foot runway at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And I went to college with a Jordanian prince who had a very bad injury, and they airlifted him immediately from Jordan to Texas Heart. Believe me, England and Germany are a lot closer.
Yep.
Okay. So our healthcare here is phenomenal, and everybody does have access to healthcare. I trained at LA County, USC, did my 6 years of general surgery there. You may not like your roommate. He may be cuffed to the bed because he was arrested for a felony, but I got to tell you, the care is phenomenal, phenomenal. They have one of the best surgery departments in the world, and there are very few places that if you have an esophageal cancer that you can have your esophagus taken out by the foremost esophageal surgeon and have a colon put in its place rather than how most guys do it with a put up a stomach. And yes, the facilities are dreadful and the food is dreadful, but everybody has access. Everybody can go there. So the problem right now is access. It's not quality, and they're misinterpreting that, because what's going to happen is quality is going to be destroyed, and we can touch on that.
Okay.
But it's an access problem.
I want to just tell my listeners, and I know you can vouch for this because we discussed nothing of this in advance. Nothing. All I knew was a doctor that I personally entrust with my life and have brought onto this show to talk about medicine happened to vote for Barack Obama, changed his mind. I said, would you like to come on the air? That was it. I have said over and over, we have the best health care. And so to hear you say this, and for it is so destructive for people to think that not having health insurance is the same as not having health care, that it's not true, as you point out, better than I have, about what is available to anybody. As you say, and at a county hospital, you may not like the guy you're next to. It's not going to be a great room, but it's going to be great care. We'll be back in a moment, and you are free to challenge him all you like. 1-8-PRAGER-776 with Dr. Michael Richman. I'm Dennis Prager. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dennis Prager here with my doctor, Dr. Michael Richman. Yes, my doctor, and the show's doctor, for that matter. We've talked only medicine. He voted for Barack Obama and told me that he regretted doing so. He is deeply worried about this overhaul of the health care system. And you were talking about the effects on American health. He began by saying something that really is disturbing, because I believe it was the president himself who said that we pay the most but don't get the best medicine. We do get the best medicine in America. We do. And it's angering that the president of the United States denies that fact. Yes, we pay more as percentage of GDP, or per capita, but we get more. That's just a fact. And we do live longer if you remove murder and auto accidents. We do live longer, and a cancer patient is far more likely to live more years here than anywhere else on Earth. I mean, these things should matter to you, my dear friends. All right, now back to Dr. Richman. You are worried. We talk about those loss of three things? You want to go to that?
Right, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. You were worried about this bill or these bills leading to a loss of choice, a loss of privacy, and a loss of excellent doctors. Why don't we begin with the excellent doctors?
Okay. In 1997, I began my heart surgery training. You were lucky to get a spot in any program. I would have gone anywhere. Last year, they only filled two-thirds of the program because you can't sustain. Believe it or not, heart surgeons make less than $2,000 for a bypass, where I used to sleep in the ICU. I would spend all day in the hospital. But our malpractice is over $50,000. Some guy pay $80,000 a year. And with the advent of stents, we're losing lots of patients that are never even seeing heart surgery and being stented, and we can get into the reasons for that, whether I agree or I disagree. So the volume is down, the volume's up for the cardiologists, our malpractice is up, and payments are down. Just so people have an idea, doctors are not rich. To see you in my office, your Blue Cross policy pays me, and you know how much time I spend with my patients, mm-hmm. $106.19. And on January 1st, Medicare will cut reimbursements 21.5% to physicians unless Congress acts.
Wow. So people are deciding not to go into the field, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And by the way, folks, just know that there is no chance for anything to be done about the malpractice because trial lawyers are among the two biggest donors to the Democratic Party. It's really one of the biggest reasons that I don't vote Democrat is because of the power of trial lawyers. There are wonderful people in trial law. Of course, I know that. I'm not an idiot. However, the institution itself has hurt my country more than almost any other, except for teachers' unions and television in my lifetime. But that's I don't want to take away from your time. So that's the doctor. So there are now people. There are now openings, as it were.
Absolutely. I mean, one comment about malpractice is if somebody files a lawsuit, frivolous or not, and you're certain insurance companies, if they just want to settle to get rid of the headache, if you settle and they can make the decision for you for more than $29,999, it's with you for life on the National Practitioners Database. Even if your insurance company just said, hey, it's not worth fighting this, it's a nothing, it's a no-brainer for us, you didn't do anything, and the doctor is scarred.
All right, loss of privacy.
Okay. Electronic medical records. First of all, you can't make a doctor, without giving them a tax deduction or something, put in a $10,000 or a $20,000 system in their office because we just can't afford it. Number two, they're check boxes. It's just the general thing. I can't write the little specific things you tell me which are important. It's a generic form that you're doing. If somebody wants Dennis Prager's medical records, they have to physically break into my office. What's the likelihood of that? But don't tell me that hackers are not lining up to get Dennis Prager's records. You cannot protect medical records 100%. And yes, maybe it will make it easier. I suggest all my patients carry their medicines in their pocket, you know, a card of their medicines. Sure, it'll streamline it, but in its present form, we are going to lose our privacy.
Which is interesting, my comment here is how much the left was so worried about the Patriot Act, which affected nobody. But this will affect everybody, and all of a sudden, privacy doesn't matter. Choice.
This is the big thing. Kaiser, you don't have choice, okay? Kaiser has a family practice physician, and nothing against him. There's great family practice doctors who do a 3-year residency versus my 8-year residency. But you have to go to this doctor. And if he doesn't want to refer you to another doctor, to a cardiologist within the Kaiser system, it takes an act of Congress to get beyond that, okay? Now, Kaiser's fine, but I can tell you their heart surgery results, just like Canada and just like England, are inflated to be better than they really are. In Canada, there's a wait list for heart surgery. So it's natural selection. The sick people die before they ever get to heart surgery. The low-risk patients get heart surgery. So the results look good. Kaiser does the same thing. When I was training, we go to Good Samaritan Hospital at USC, and I spent 3 months there, and they were operating every day on Kaiser patients, and Kaiser was right across the street, and they were the high-risk patients, and yet Good Sam had worse results than Kaiser. So my point is that you are going to lose your choice. You're going to have somebody who doesn't know. It's not that they're ignorant. It's that their training is limited. Make a decision. What is the best care for Dennis Prager? And I can tell you 100%, cholesterol management is going to go back into the dark ages, because there's zero chance that you're going to get two drugs or three drugs or what's necessary.
That's right. That's right.
And heart disease is going to go up, and people are going to start dying again.
That's right. And I didn't think of that. Of course, it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. All right, we have some challenges for the doctor. I'll be happy to take them. We'll begin, I think, with Barbara in New York City. My doctor, yes, my Dr. Michael Richman, who did vote for Barack Obama and now feels he erred, I always do that, erred in that way, is on with me. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Dennis Prager here with Dr. Michael Richman, my doctor, and the doctor that I have had on to speak about heart issues, has changed his mind in that he voted for Barack Obama and now feels it was a mistake given the devastating impact of the healthcare quote-unquote reform. We have a number of challenges. New York City on the Apple. Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Dennis Prager and Dr. Richman.
Hi, Dr. Richman. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Dr. Richman, I did just the opposite of what you did. I did not vote for Barack Obama, but now I regret it. Barack Obama, I hope what he's doing is the right thing. They're double dipping. The healthcare system in this country is excellent. The medical profession is a disgrace, and I'm in that business. I work at New York Hospital, so I know just what they're doing. When I go to the doctors, or when anyone in my family go to the doctor, they never get billed. But their HMO gets billed, Medicare gets billed, their hospital plan at business gets billed, and it gets billed and billed and billed for the one procedure, and if you go and question it, they just calmly say they made a mistake. I had an echogram done 15 years ago. My HMO at the time, I was not working. My HMO at the time, I don't even want to mention the HMO, was Oxford, up in Connecticut. And believe it or not, last summer, Oxford called me up and sent me a notice in the mail with the bill. They're not my HMO anymore.
All right, let's get a response from the doctor. I'm glad you called, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, first of all, I think you're confusing apples with oranges, because I can tell you I spend a half hour each day writing appeals, fighting for every single dollar, and half of them you don't get. The problem, what I think you're referring to, and John McCain talked about, and I think it needs to be done immediately, is the Medicare HMO plans need to be destroyed immediately. Because what happens is somebody like you gets a letter in the mail to sign up for a Medicare prescription drug plan. But in the fine print, as you're signing all your rights over to the HMO plan. Well, did you know that Medicare pays these plans much more than the doctor would get if the doctor directly billed Medicare? And yes, there's bad apples everywhere. I don't disagree with you. But that's just really not the way it is.
All right. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Dr. Michael Richman, cardiothoracic surgeon. And he has you've been very, very helpful. Don't go away. You are listening to The Dennis Prager Show.